You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Verses 24 to 27. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, for his sake. Amen.
Okay, well, we've still got some hummers around, have you? We've still got some around our place, but few and far between now. And so we're getting the other feeders ready for the windows. When they disappear, we're going to make sure we've got some other feeders for the birds. And we're seeing more of the other birds too now. They seem to be coming in. We've got one squirrel, and he knows how to get the seed. Where I even bought a discharge thing. It's an electric fence for animals like cattle and stuff. I haven't got that sorted yet. Seppi shakes her head. No, don't do that. It won't kill them, it'll just scare them, you know. I've seen some people on YouTube who have done the same with electric fences to get rid of the squirrels. But there's one squirrel there, I mean, man, he's a character. He just sits there and contorts in all sorts of weird movements to get his mouth onto the feeder, you know. And he can hold on with one foot over here, another one over there, and he's in. Real characters. Anyway, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for today, Lord, for the book that is the book of books, the word of life. We thank thee for its preservation and all that we have learned in it. We ask now that you anoint us, Lord, with thy spirit to understand more and more. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, we're in the book of Hebrews, and it's been a marvelous study. This is Welsh's book, which we're using as a textbook. Of course, the main book is the Bible itself. And this is just a little review of some of the things that we've been looking at in Hebrews 11, because there's this great cloud of witnesses, and they are like the spectrum. The white light comes in, and then you get those beautiful seven colors coming out. Roy G. Biv, and there's some great lessons we can learn, but they are spectral. It's not all the white light of Christ, but you'll see some failures in there. Nonetheless, God sees the ultimate end of faith. Sarah laughed. You know, you're going to conceive in old age. No, that was not the laugh of faith. You know, that was not the laugh of faith. But ultimately, yes, as time went by, she certainly became someone of faith. But there's sort of activities of faith that we can see in here. He refuses, about Moses, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused that. He chose rather to suffer affliction. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater than the riches of than the treasuries in Egypt. He had respect under the recompense of the reward. The reward, you see. See, redemption is not the end. There is a great goal that God has in mind. He redeems, and then the redeemed have a place within his great kingdom. And so we've got to ask the question, well, okay, so the redeemed have this great place, but where is that? You know, where on earth is this going to be? Is it going to be in the land associated in various companies with the land of promise? Is it going to be the New Jerusalem? Or is it going to be the super celestial, the heavenly places themselves? the heavenly places. So the redeemed, well, that's great. I mean, I'm really happy to be one of the redeemed. That's great. Now we ask the question, okay, for what purpose in God's mind is he redeeming people? Well, he has great purposes in his word for the redeemed. And what we are trying to do at this church is to, as he nearly trips over, is to find out and clarify these different hopes and to distinguish them and understand them and be able to discuss what is our hope and why. Why do you believe these things? We want to understand this. We certainly are interested in going on unto perfection. Okay, we want to go on unto perfection. But that's something that a person that's headed for the New Jerusalem wants to go on to perfection. Someone that's in the land wants to run on unto perfection. We who have got this hope, which is in the heavenly places, we want to run the race. We want to know what God's will is for us. And to do that, we will have to rightly divide the word of truth and get that clear. So these great activities of faith are here. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. Oh, wait a minute. He endured. He carried on. He had this great patience. When the Bible talks about this patience, it's really referring to this idea of enduring. He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood. Great things here. He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Oh, that's got some great applications for us today. Certainly is a wonderful thing that we can endure too, and we can forsake the dictates of the world on us in favor of being obedient to what Christ would have us do in this age. So up here I've got this picture. It looks a bit complicated. Okay, coin. A coin typically will have two faces on it. So this is an ancient Roman coin here with the two faces. And up the top here I've got references in the book of Hebrews to the better things. And on the right-hand side here in yellow, there are some of these better things. The Jesus as opposed to angels. If you look at how much greater Jesus was, he's better than the angels. And when we see the book of Hebrews opening up, it talks about in these last days. And because this doctrine pertains to the last days, it's very fresh in the mind of the author and the original hearers of this message, the fact of the Lord Jesus Christ coming, his sacrifice, etc. The things that accompany salvation, better things. Better priest, that is Melchizedek, better hope, better testament, better sacrifices, better country, better resurrection, better things than Abel. That's really interesting. Now come with me to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 16. Just look at this. It says this in verse 13, Hebrews 11, 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. Okay, these all died in faith. These are the great pictures of strength in faith. Yes, they had failings. And yes, that is great for us because we have failings. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. No, they didn't receive them. But having seen them afar off. Okay, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things unseen. Yeah, the evidence is actually the idea of reproof. Evidence and reproof. But wait a minute. But having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Well, we have some parallel ideas coming to us as well, because we realize that our citizenship is in heaven. And we take that seriously. Because that's where our hope is, in the heavenly places. And we do not mess with this idea as if it's just, oh, this is just a little bit of doctrine, a little bit of theory, a little bit of... No, we understand that our citizenship is in heaven, literally is. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Yeah, if that was in their mind, and it continued in their mind, and remember, originally, that's what the Israelis wanted to do. Let's make a captain and return unto Egypt, because there we had the garlics. Man, there we had the leeks. There we had all the nice food, man. Let's just return. What's all this stuff? This manna, quails. Hey, Pharaoh had the black earth, man, and the great food. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. Now, this is very significant. Because when you read Hosea, you realize the significance of this idea of Lo Ami, not my people. Now look what he says. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. So you can see in here that the magnificence of these better things that are now presented to these Hebrew believers in Christ. Magnificent better things. But hold the phone. To whom he gives great things, there is also great requirements. Great requirements. And so you see these two arrows on the both sides of the coin. On the one side, yes, in these last days there were these better things set forward to them, but there's also requirements. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy. How much more? Oh, bigger judgment coming on you if you don't obey. Coming down here. They escaped not who refused him that spake on earth. Much more. Much more, you see. Here is the requirements of belief and faith. Yes, on the one hand, I'm showing you all these great things, but man, you people who are supposed to be a part of this great priesthood of believers, who are supposed to be my teachers, you have need that one teach you again what be the first principles of the oracles of God. You need to be taught again, do you, when you're supposed to be teachers? Take a spiritual lesson from that, right? From the point of view of us. Man, here at Northside, through the years, the amount of blessing coming because of the scriptures being rightly divided. How much more responsibility do you think we have to be honest with this, to be forthright with this, find ways of presenting this to people? I think there's a responsibility that will come to us for this. And we can back this up from books like Philippians. So there's the two green arrows. On the one hand, tremendous better things being offered here. Better things being accomplished. Better priests, all these better things. But on the other side, responsibility and judgment coming if you do not take this responsibility up. Now, you're in Hebrews 11. Look at verse number 37. Hebrews 11, right down the end. Oh, man. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. And then it goes on. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And then verse 39. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. We just had that, right? Received not the promise. God having provided some better thing, we just went through all those better things. When Christ came, the last days, all these things came forward in a magnificent clarity. These better things, because of the sacrifice, the coming of Christ and the sacrifice of Christ, God having provided some better thing for us, that they, now it moves from the us to the they, those ones that did not inherit the promises, that they without us should not be made perfect. When will they be made perfect? Wait a minute, we just read over here in chapter 11 that, yes, we don't see it in the Old Testament, but they had knowledge. Abraham had knowledge of this better country. They had knowledge of the New Jerusalem, the city without foundation. They had knowledge of this, even if it's not written in the Old Testament. We read here, they had knowledge of this great and better hope of the New Jerusalem. But look what it says here. God having provided some better thing for us, yeah, we read about those better things, that they without us should not be made perfect. They without us. In other words, when the people of, reading this Hebrews, the people of the Hebrew Christians, when they are made perfect, that's the same time when these Old Testament saints will be made perfect. Oh, wait a minute. That means a shared hope. Now think about this, friends. Just get this, please. I'm not talking so much about you guys. I'm sure you've got this. But there are plenty going to get this videotape, and it's just going to go boo, ting, tong, right over the top, man. Like some of my students, you know. You know, they're out there moving around the tomatoes and the, you know, buffet. Come back to earth. Here. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. When these Hebrews are made perfect, that's the same time these believers in the Old Testament will be made perfect. It's the same hope because it says so. The New Jerusalem. When this thing is realized by the people who were addressed in the book of Hebrews, when these people realize this hope, that's the same time that the Old Testament saints are going to be realizing their hope. The same time. That they without us should not be made perfect. No, they weren't being made perfect until such time as the Hebrew believers of this epistle realize this hope. Now wait a minute. What does that mean? Well, that means, my friends, that the hope that's presented here in the book of Hebrews coincides with the hope that Abraham had. It's the same hope. There is therefore this great connection here. See, you've got this, right? Near the end here, Hebrews in the book of Acts is going to find its place. There were Acts believers. They believed in the finished work of Christ. The Hebrew Christians believed the same. But their hope was New Jerusalem, and that's the same hope that's found in the Old Testament. That hope goes right the way back, my friends, to Abraham and forward. Therefore, if you want to understand the distinction between the hopes, you're going to have to rightly divide the word of truth. You better not go in here thinking that the hope presented here is in some way different from what Abraham knew and believed. What we have to understand, therefore, is who is the author and who is he writing to? We need to understand who's writing to us. Okay, I think this is pretty plain, and that's Paul the prisoner. And this thing is on resurrection ground. When the resurrection comes, these people are going to find their hope. They will be outfitted. Their resurrected body will fit the circumstances of that part of the kingdom that God is going to place them in. As John said, it doth not appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Right? We shall know him as he is. Okay, cool, man. That's pretty cool. Now, as you go through here, I'm just showing we're moving to 12 here. You've got faith, the substance. The substance of things hoped for. That's the embryo, the basic belief. And it grows. It's the substance of things hoped for. And the evidence, this is the elenchos, the evidence of things unseen. Okay, let's have a look at that. Let's just go back to Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, the evidence here is actually the word elenchos, and the verbal form comes down in chapter 12, 3 to 5, and it means rebuke, to rebuke. So somehow this idea of evidence comes to us who are human beings in this fallen flesh, comes to us in the form of some kind of reproof. And look what it says, of the evidence of things not seen. These great rewards of things not seen, somehow they come to us in some kind of rebuke. Rebuke. Then you've got this great, this cloud of witnesses. And then chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And then it says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus. Now there's some very important points that you can overlook when you see this. This idea of faith being a substance, and then faith being this evidence of things unseen, this reproof that comes to us, is something that you've got to get. Now, if you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, he's very different because he's impeccable. There's nothing in him for sin to latch onto, right? He obeyed. He is the perfect example of obedience. Now just come across here with me to chapter 12 and verse 2, where it says, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. When it says looking, and I'll come back to this verse, it actually means this idea of looking away. Looking away. But surely it can't mean looking away from God. In context, we have just gone through this great cloud of witnesses, which we symbolize by this, you know, prism spectrum, where they had fault. But they're counted as great examples of faith because in the end, in certain circumstances, they came through in the end. Right? They reached that perfection as human beings. But now, in chapter 12, what's going on? He talks in verse 1 about the great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight, and so on. And then he says in verse 2, looking away unto Jesus. So, yes, it's a looking away. It's looking away from even these witnesses to Jesus. And it says, the author and finisher of our faith. And so you can see the verse here. There is the looking away. Looking away unto Jesus. The author and the finisher of our faith. There's the of our faith here. Of faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. And if you look at the word for finisher, here it is here, teleiotein. And you can see in here, telos, our good study of going on to the end. The perfecter. He is the one who is the originator and the perfecter of our faith. He is the captain. He is the architect. And he is the finisher. He is the one who brings to completion. And look what he says. It says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Now we're gonna see that 11:1 coming up. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus accomplished what we will need reproof on. For the joy. Now, what joy? Well, that's the joy that would ultimately come to him, right? There's no joy in going through the sufferings of the cross. But there's something that he will exchange for that. And that is this great joy that will be his as the King of Kings sitting on his throne. Now we will need some reproof in our life. Jesus didn't need it. Look at this. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Well, for us, the joy is something out the unseen things. We don't see this joy that's coming, right? And he patiently endured the cross, did all these great things. We are going to need some reproof. And what form will the reproof come? Well, go across with me. This is in the book of 1 Corinthians. It's a parallel subject, and so we can get some instruction on this because of its parallel nature. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? Now, you'll notice, actually, there is this tremendous race that's going on here. You can see this. Just hold your place here in 1 Corinthians 9. Let me just draw the parallels. So that in, if you go back to Hebrews 12 and 1, it says, okay, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Oh, weight. That's something that pertains to our running, right? And the sin which doth so easily beset us, this is entangling sin. This is a special kind of sin that entangles you and slows you down. We want to find out what that is. And it goes on and says, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So the writer of Hebrews is using the same teaching of the running of a race. And I'm interested in the entangling sin that besets us. Okay, let's look at this. In 1 Corinthians 9 and 24, it says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. God likes this symbology of a race. Do you notice the genius of the United States as it was originally conceived, that you would have states, right? And they would be separate and autonomous states. We see that, believe it or not, even today, why we still have borders between states. We see a state capital, right? That still exists. We are supposed to have states. And if you look at how the states were set up, they competed one against another. So that what happens? You get better products. You get genius coming forward. Why, that's where most of what the modern world gets its great product from, the enjoyment of technology and so on. Until recently, it had its place from the United States because there's this idea of a contest going on, right? Now, friends can compete, right? They don't have to be enemies, but we can compete. And you can see the genius of this with a small federal government just keeping the borders straight, unlike what we've got today. Right? Anyway, that's another topic. So it says this in verse 25, and every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Now look at this. Temperate. Temperate in all things. See that word temperate? That word temperate is this word here. Incratuitai. It means self-control. Self-control. You're supposed to keep yourself in self-control. Of course, under the guidance of the scriptures. Rightly divided as we understand it. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, no shadow boxing, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Self-control here. Look at this. You can see now the further explanation of self-control. Lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Is it possible that Paul could be a castaway and still be saved? Yes! Yes! You can be cast away and still be saved. What you need to do, though, is realize that redemption is not the end. God's redeeming you in order that you run a race and fulfill some place in His kingdom, and He wants qualified personnel. Not unqualified personnel. Qualified personnel. So what comes to me is a big question then. How on earth do we be temperate in our lives and understand what God wants us to do in running the race set before us in terms of our hope, which we have clarified is not the New Jerusalem, is not the land given to Israel, but the heavenly places. And to get that, my friends, we have to rightly divide the word of truth. In fact, we have to rightly divide Paul's epistles. It's a rock and roll. Don't you see this lesson I've just given you today? It just absolutely clarifies things. If you see the end of chapter 11, you see that, how that these Old Testament saints were to realize their hope at the same time as the Acts-believing Hebrews would. Can you see that? I mean, that's cool, friends. Now, I'm out of time, but I'm not out of bullets. So, we'll do some more work on this, man. This is cool stuff. Now, I'm going to move through the book of Hebrews. We're going to clean it up. We're going to probably get into chapter 13 soon, and we'll finish up the book of Hebrews. But I think we're going to find, because of the things that have come up, it'll be a springboard into an even more interesting study. And I'm looking forward to that. And I'll talk more about that next time. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for today, Lord, for all that Thou hast given us. That the riches that are ours in Christ, we thank Thee for those, Lord. We pray that we would run the race, that we'd be temperate in all things, that we would be careful, Lord, to understand how to run this race by getting the deep teaching, the doctrine that is ours from rightly dividing the word of truth. We pray for all our friends and relatives around the world, for those who are suffering because they've been given incorrect medication and incorrect things in terms of COVID. We pray, Lord, that you'd reach down and intervene. Pray for those who are standing up for the right treatments, Lord, that you'd be with them, and that we'd have a strong nation coming. That it, as each person realizes their need for salvation and turn back to the scriptures, then other things will fall in place. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.